I want to hear, like, to win? Raise your hand if you'd like to win. Okay. How many of you like to cheer for a winning team? You like to cheer for a winning team. Okay, so those raising their hands, I guess, are not Chicago Bears fans. There we go. Well, you know what? I like cheering for a winning team, too, and my favorite team of all times is the Kansas City Chiefs, and they've given me lots of reasons lately to cheer, to be excited, to have enthusiasm, to have joy. I mean, when I get to watch my quarterback throw for a touchdown, I'm like, yes, yes, yeah! How would you act if you saw your team score the winning touchdown? What would you do? You'd be like, crickets, crickets. I know, Packers fans don't know what that's like. Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, you do? Oh, I'm sorry. Then show me. Okay, on the count of three, your team just scored the winning touchdown. One, two, three. Yeah! Yeah! Woo! Yes! When our team is winning, we have joy. And that gets expressed with our enthusiasm. We're excited, and that's great, and that's a great emotion. But you know what, kids? I noticed that there's a bunch of big kids in the room. See, we've been talking about a boy and a giant and about our emotions, but they have no clue what we're talking about. So I think it's appropriate for us to give a review. Would you say that? Yeah, we should talk about. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to share with you what we've been talking about. A boy, a giant, and some emotions. It all started one day when two armies faced each other. We had the Philistine army lined up on this side of the room. We had the Israelite army on this side of the room. And they were going to go to war. Except something changed. One man stood out from the Philistine army. This guy was a great, mighty warrior, and the Bible says he was so tall. As a matter of fact, they said he was 9 feet tall. He was a giant. His name was Goliath, and he came out yelling and challenging. You see, he had an idea. He said, I challenge someone on your team to a 1v1. One person against one person, winner takes all. He said, send your best soldier to fight me. If he wins, then we're your slaves. If I win, then you guys are our slaves. And he began cussing and saying bad things about them and their God and everything. And when the giant spoke, everyone on the Israelite army, you know what they did? They hid. They were scared. They had what? Fear. That's right. They're like, oh, don't pick me. Don't pick me. That guy's so scary. And for 40 days, that giant got up and challenged, saying, let's go 1v1. Let's see who's the best. Who's going to get the victory royale? But no one would step up. Everyone had fear. And you know what? We talked about this, that a lot of us have fear in our lives too. That fear makes us want to hide. Fear makes us want to stand still. Fear wants to make sure that we don't do what we're supposed to do. But you know what? We also learned that the Bible says that when I am afraid, that I will trust in God. Now, on the 40th day, the giant, he got up 9 feet tall. Fee, fi, fo, fum. Send out someone to go 1v1. And no one to come. But that day was a different day because in the Israelite army over here, there was an extra person. That day, there was a visitor. It was somebody who wasn't supposed to be there. It was not a soldier. It was a boy. A boy by the name of David. And David was there visiting his brother saying, hey guys, how's the war going? Did you win yet? And then he saw the giant. And he heard what the giant said. And he was like, oh no, he didn't. He didn't just say that. Who's going to go fight him? And all of the soldiers like, shh, don't say anything. We're all scared. They might pick you. David was angry. He was angry that no one would fight. He was angry that that giant was yelling at them. He was angry because of what that giant was saying about their God. Now, there are some people who think that when it comes to anger, that anger is wrong. And actually, anger is not good, and anger is not bad, but what we do with anger can be good or bad. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, how many of you have a brother or sister? Anyone here got a brother? I see some of the big kids got a brother or sister. Yeah. I really think that the whole purpose of brothers or sisters is to make you angry. I mean, they're to annoy you. They're there to mess with you. They're there to make you all, And when you are angry, you know what you want to do to your brother or sister? Boom. Yeah. You want to punch them. You want to yell at them. You want to hit them. You want to be mean to them. You know what? You see, we have a choice when it comes to our anger, though. That we can choose to hit, we can choose to yell, we can choose to be mean, but that is wrong. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, it says, don't sin by letting anger control you. Now, anger was welling up inside of David. He's like, how dare that giant say those things? Someone needs to fight him. And he did not choose to sin by his anger, but he chose to do what was right. He chose to stand up for what he believed. He chose to stand up for his country. He chose to stand up for his God. And he said, I'll fight. And everyone's like, get your hand down. He's like, nope, I'll fight. Pick me. I mean, you'd think he was signing up to get slimed or something, play a wacky game or something, right? And the king heard about this. He said, bring that volunteer over to me. And so the king is sitting there. He's like, bring this guy. And when he looked at him, he's like, you brought me a kid. And the king was disappointed. He's like, really? Really? The only volunteer after a month of challenging, and all we can get is a kid to volunteer? You see, little kids, these big kids out here, sometimes they think little kids can't do big things. Let's just call them what they are, adults. Adults sometimes think that kids are better left seen and not heard. That kids can't do anything. There's some adults who would say, I wish there just wasn't any kids. I mean, there are some people even... I hope not, but there may even be some people who are here this morning or watching online this morning who would say, why is the church letting the kids service take over? I mean, this doesn't make sense. This is the adult service. We don't need the kids stuff. And you know what? Saul thought that too. He was looking at this boy who was in front of him, and he's like, a kid. And his first thought was, if we're going to send a kid out and we're going to lose, we might as well make that kid look like an adult. And so he brought the kid up and he dressed him in adult soldier clothes. He put adult soldier armor, and that kid was in the armor. And he's like, I can't move. Help. I can't move. Help me. Like, he can't fight with the adult clothes on. He took it all off. He said, I'd much rather fight with my own threads. And so he went out to go fight. Now, when he went out to go fight, the giant, who was 9 foot tall, saw, finally, they're sending someone to fight me. Yeah, let's fight 1v1. Except he saw, wait a second, this is like an insult. He looked at this kid, is like, what? They're sending a boy to fight me? The Bible says that he looked at the boy. He saw how young he was, how handsome he was, and he hated him. He was disgusted that a kid was sent to fight him. But you know what? Again, there are adults who get disgusted at the idea of kids doing anything. Which is not cool. I mean, it even happened when Jesus was on this planet. You see, Jesus was out, he was teaching, and he was hanging out with people, and all of a sudden parents started coming, and they brought their kids with them. and they were bringing their kids to Jesus saying, hey, Jesus, will you talk to my kids? Will you pray over my kids? Will you bless my kids? And the disciples were like, they were acting like bodyguards saying, stay away from Jesus. We don't need any children by Jesus. And Jesus saw what was happening. And Jesus was like, you better stop that right now. Let the kids come to me. And what Jesus wanted them all to know, and I think what he wants us to know here today, he said this, he said, he brought a little kid in front of him. He said, let me just tell you, unless you become like this little kid, you're not even going to God's kingdom. He's like, kids are the best at following God. Kids are the best about believing in God. Kids are the best when it comes to faith in God, and they're your examples. Whoa. See, in the Bible, in 2 Timothy, it says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. You guys, you're the best at showing all of these big kids what it means to love God, what it means to have joy, what it means to believe, what it means to follow God. We're supposed to watch you. And that's why I'm so excited that we're a part of Focus Church. Focus Church that focuses on investing in the next generation. You see, I don't care whether or not you thought it was too loud or too soft or it's too fancy or too lights and too crazy and slime and everything. You know what? It's not about you, big kids. It's about the next generation. They're not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today, and there are examples. So we're not getting disgusted by the fact that there's kids as part of this church. They're an example. We don't look down on them because they're young. And that brings us to today, because now it's time for the fight. Now, the giant, he saw there was a kid, and he began running towards the kid. Boom, 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 big heavy footsteps going towards the kid. And the kid began running to him, and he stopped. He said, hey, I want you to know, you're not going to win. This boy was tough. He said, you're not going to win because I got God on my side, and today you're going down. I'm going to be doing the loser dance on you. Yeah. That's what that boy said. The giant was just mad. And so you know what? That boy, he ran closer, closer to the giant. He stopped. He pulled out his big, gigantic Nerf gun. And he fired a mega bullet. Boom! Did he really? Maybe he fired a real gun. No, he didn't fire a real gun. So maybe he just had like Superman strength. I mean, no. He had a rock. That's all he had. It was a rock. A little rock, maybe about this big. He had a rock, and he put it into a piece of leather. It was a sling. And he's like, spin it around, spin it around. The giant's running at him, so he's spinning around. Woo! It's going in the air. The giant's like, what's that little thing coming towards me? Coming towards me. Boom. And he fell down. Oh, yeah. He was eliminated. David had won, and remember, two armies on either side of the room just saw what happened. They could not believe their eyes. And you know what? Did he do the greedy? I bet he probably did the greedy, right? I can't do it. I'll pretend, you know, I can't. You know, I can't even do it. I mean, I shouldn't even try, right? But you know what this group over here did, the Philistine army? What they did, they now were full of fear, and they began to run, and the team over here just realized, we're on the winning team. They began to cheer, and they began to run out to say, we're getting you, we're getting you, we're the winners. The Bible says that they chased them till they reached a whole nother town, and they came back. And all the people in the land, they began cheering and shouting and singing with joy and everything. They were excited because we're on the winning team. It's like they just won the Super Bowl. They'd won it all. They were all standing there, putting out their pillow with the crown and a little number popped up. One. They had won. They were winners. David came back as the champion. But it wasn't because he was a little boy. It wasn't because he was super strong. It wasn't because he was super smart. It wasn't because he had the best weapons. I mean, a rock hitting somebody who has a helmet on, excuse me, not going to do much except if God was helping him. You see, too often we face situations in our life that go wrong. They're not what we expect. Maybe it's a doctor telling us something bad has happened to us or to a loved one. Maybe it's a report about a job. Maybe it's about finances. Maybe it's about a relationship that maybe your relationship status is not in the best place. And we hear these reports, and all of a sudden, you know which emotion we take on? We take on sadness. We think that life is over. Oh, no. We stop doing anything because all we can think about is we've lost. There's no hope. And we feel all blue. But that's not the way it's supposed to be, because let me tell you, the same God that was on David's team that helped him win that victory royale that day against the giant is the same God who is with you today, who can help you no matter what. And let me tell you about this God. He can do anything. If he can make a rock knock over a giant, then he can help you in your situation. But you gotta believe. That country, the Israelites, had a win that day. Not because the king was good, not because the soldiers were good, but because a boy believed. One kid can make all the difference, and they believe that God's with them. And for you big kids out there, you're not alone too. No matter what you're facing, God's with you. And let me tell you, it changes who we are when we realize God's with me. And when God's with you, you know what? You can't be sad. When God's with you, it's like, hey, it's impossible to be sad at the same time as realizing God is with me. God can do anything. It doesn't matter what I face. He's there. He cares. He's not going anywhere. It erases the sadness. And do you know what the opposite of sadness is? Joy. That is correct. The opposite of sadness is joy. Because when we realize God's on our side, we are filled with his joy, and his joy gives us strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Can you say that with me? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Say it one more time. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's right. But we can't forget. Kids, you got to be our example. Kids, you got to be like that boy David to stand up for what's right. Don't let fear control you. Trust in God. Replace sadness with joy, knowing that God's by your side. I'm going to invite you right now, all across the rooms, little kids, big kids, everybody, let's bow our heads, let's close our eyes as we take a moment to talk with God. God, we recognize today that you've never left us, that you're always there, that you care what's going on in our lives. But we're the ones who forget who you are. We're the ones who forget that you're there. We're the ones who lose sight of the fact that you know and you can do anything. So God, help us to remember to believe. Help us to remember to have faith. Help us to remember that you're there and that you care. Fill us with your joy that gives us strength. God, help us to think about this boy named David and how he made a difference for standing up. Help us, God, to think about the children in our lives who are the examples of what it means to follow you, who are the best at having faith and believing. Help us, God, that no matter what we face, we can know you're there. Be with us, God. Help us as we put our trust and our faith in you. In Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, I was thinking that it's hard to have joy of the Lord if you don't even know who God is. You see, God loves you and me so much that he sent his son Jesus to this planet to pay the price for your sin and my sin with his life, so that we can be set free and forgiven, so that we can be a part of his family. He didn't come just to be a good person. He came to save us. And this joy that we're talking about, this absence of fear, this absence of sadness, it all stems from being able to say with your life that, God, I give you me. It's the only thing we have to give. You may say, Pastor, how do I give God me? Well, you have a simple conversation with God that we call prayer. And in this prayer, you tell God, I'm sorry for my sin. I believe in Jesus, and that I decide to give you me, to put you as the leader of my life, to make you the boss of me. When we say that prayer, everything changes. And I want to help you with that prayer today. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say this prayer out loud in bite-sized pieces. I'm going to encourage you to pray this prayer out loud, repeating after me. But you're not praying alone, because I'm asking everyone to pray this prayer with us. This is the most important thing we do. We're focused on helping people find God's place in their life. And so let's pray together right now. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for the sin of my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much, you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.